Good morning. It is good to be back with you again. I appreciate Glenn calling and asking me to be here. I'm kind of getting fond of being here, so I'm going to enjoy coming and being here today. I will say this before I get started. Glenn called me about Tuesday and didn't talk to him very long, and immediately God put on my heart what to preach. And the closer it come to Sunday, the more I thought, have I preached that here before? Because sometimes I preach sermon again in different places, and I can't keep up with what's what. And the Lord says, look, I told you it doesn't matter if you preach there for or not. So if you've heard this before, sorry. It's for somebody. Maybe it's for me. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 19. Talk about Zacchaeus. You know, a lot of times we think some of those stories in the Bible we learn in primary Sunday school, and we don't go back and look at them as adults occasionally. And the manner in which I'm going to preach to you this morning is a little different than my normal technique of expository style. I'm going to ask you to give me a little latitude, and I'll bring it together at the end. So don't go to sleep on me, or you'll miss the point at the end of it. Luke chapter 2, Luke 19, verse 1. I'll get it out here in a minute. My tongue's tied. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, he's going to stay with a sinful man? But Zacchaeus stood there and he said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. And Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. And Jesus told him, because he too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Zacchaeus. Just the fact that Jesus, the moment he said he was going to his house, everybody began to grumble. You're going to that guy's house? We know anybody like that? You're going to that guy's house? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Tax collectors, we have any tax collectors in here? Just want to make sure before I go too far. I don't care for tax collectors today, and they're regulated, sort of. But in Jesus' day, Zacchaeus being a chief tax collector, they made their money by overcharging those that owe taxes. If you owed $50, they charge you $2.50. They made their money by stealing from people. They were very unliked. And to go on top of that, Zacchaeus, being a Jewish man working for the Roman government, taking money from his own people, made it even worse. So he really, really was not a popular man by any stretch, if you will, taking money from people. But here we see that he hears about Jesus coming and he wants to see Jesus. Why? What brought him to the point where he wanted to go beyond just wanting to see him, was willing to run ahead of him down the road? Now, he's a rich man. He didn't holler for a limo and a forklift to pick him up. He ran down the road and he climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. What brought him to that point of wanting to see this Jesus? Why so anxious to see Jesus? Jesus tells us in Matthew, if you ask, if you seek, you'll what? You'll find. Zacchaeus was seeking, and did he find Jesus? Absolutely he did. But what I want to kind of develop, if you'll give me a little latitude for a minute, what brought it on in Zacchaeus' life that made him want to see this Jesus? Because something had to happen. He had to hear something to make him have interest in wanting to see Jesus. Could you imagine for a moment, and here's why I want you to stay with me for a minute. Could you imagine Zacchaeus getting up one morning to do his duty as a tax collector. And he goes to this house and he knocks on the door. And this woman comes to the door and Zacchaeus doing what he does. Hey, you owe this much in taxes. I need it now. And this woman's standing there and she looks just frazzled. And she said, look, you see the man out behind the house over here running around naked in the tombs, cutting himself, possessed by demons? That's my husband. He hadn't worked in a long time. We've tried everything. Can you please give me just a little bit longer to come up with the funds? Zacchaeus, unlike his character, he says, okay, I'll see you in about 30 days. And he leaves. Walks down the road, go to another house, knocks on the door. This woman comes to the door and she's just pale, emptied of life almost. And he says, I'm here to collect my taxes. She looks at him and he's thinking in his mind, well, you know, she looks like she's about to die anyway, so I'll just take what she's got shortly anyway. But she says, look, I've had this issue, medical issue, and I've been to every doctor. I've spent every penny I've got trying to be cured. I've been sick. I've been bleeding for years. Can you please just give me a little longer? Zacchaeus thinks, well, okay, she's probably going to die before I get back over here anyway, and then I can just take everything. So he gives her a little grace and he moves on and he goes down the road and he knocks on another door. This woman comes to the door and she's wearing mourning clothes all in black. So I'm here to collect your taxes, just as hard-hearted as a tax collector is. I'm here to collect your taxes and I'm sorry about your troubles here, but you owe money. She says, my daughter has just passed away. My husband has gone for help, but he doesn't even know yet. And I really need to be able to properly bury my daughter. Can you please just give me a few days? Zacchaeus says, well, I'm on a roll today. Yeah, I guess so. And lets her go. On his way back, he passes by blind Bartimaeus. On his way back into town there in Jericho, blind Bartimaeus been sitting there forever. Everybody knew him. He was a grown man, been begging, blind. He looks at him, passes on by and goes to back to his office, if you will. 30 days later, speculating, if you will, stay with me. Speculating, he says, okay, time's up. I'm going back to collect from these people. He goes back to that first house, knocks on the door. And a man and a woman come to the door and the man's nicely dressed, clean. The woman's standing there and he's like, I know I'm at the right place. And he says, didn't I come by here 30 days ago? Oh yes, you did. And I asked for an extension because my husband had been unemployed and possessed by demons. But I don't understand. And the woman says, let me tell you what happened. This man Jesus passed by my way. And he spoke to the demons and he cured my husband. Now he's working employed and we want to pay our taxes. Zacchaeus kind of like, wow, okay. Takes the money. Goes to the next house he had given. Knocks on the door, expecting to see the hollowed out woman close to death's door. She comes to the door and she's full of life, dressed and clean. And he's like, once again, am I at the wrong place? What happened to you? She says, oh, I got my money to pay you. Yes, but what happened to you? You're not the woman I saw last. She says, oh, let me tell you what happened. One day I heard about this man named Jesus that was passing by. He was passing by and I wiggled through the crowd and I just reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Was healed. He said, do what? She said, yes, this man named Jesus was passing by my way and he healed me. Zacchaeus takes the money, goes to the third house. Woman and a young girl comes to the door. He's thinking, I'm at the wrong place again. Ma'am, didn't I give you grace to bury your daughter? Oh, yes, you did, and I'm very grateful. But see, when my husband Jairus come back, there was this man that had come this way to see me, and he raised my daughter from the dead, and I didn't have to bury her after all. Who was this man? He said, oh, it was Jesus. Jesus was coming this way, and he came to my house, and he raised my daughter. He takes the money. He goes back toward Jericho. And as he enters the gate, the permanent fixture he had seen most of his life of Bartimaeus sitting there, he's missing. He thinks in his mind, he said, I wonder where that old blind beggar's at. He gets on his way to his office. He recognizes him. He said, Bartimaeus? He said, yes. He said, can you see me? He said, oh yeah, I can see you. He said, let me tell you what happened, Zacchaeus. I was sitting at that gate like I am every day, and this man named Jesus was passing by my way. And I called out to him, and he reached down and he healed my eyes that now I can see. My friends, things might not have happened just that way. But let me share this with you. When Jesus comes by your way, what are you going to do with him? See, Jesus came by each of those. You could go to Luke chapter 8 and Luke 19 and see those stories in full. When Jesus does something miraculous in your life, do you keep quiet or do you tell folks about it when they come? About that Jesus that passed by your way. Do you share those things? Do you share what happened when Jesus passes by your way? Because see, I don't know about you, but my Jesus still heals the blind. My Jesus still raises the dead. My Jesus still casts demons from those that are possessed. My Jesus still saves sinners. Are we quiet about what Jesus does? We shouldn't be. We should be telling the world. So often you see in Scripture, sometimes Jesus will tell one of them after he heals, after they heal someone. Now you just be quiet about this. Something like that happened in your life, do you think they are able to be quiet? Something like that happened in your life, can you be quiet about it? We can't even be quiet about stuff we hear, oh, Aunt Susie broke her toe and done this. We got to tell everybody. When Jesus does something in your life, can you share that? Jesus knew what was going to happen. You take the demoniac. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to go with him. Oh, Master, let me come with you. He said, you stay right here and you go tell everybody else in town. Because why? They recognized who he was. I don't know about you. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. I cut my teeth on third row of the Baptist church. My dad preaching. You know, I don't have that story to tell that some do. But I certainly have met folks. I'm thinking, matter of fact, I met a friend of mine that I had known from years ago. And he said, man, let me tell you what happened to me. God got a hold of him. Jesus came his way. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, oh my soul, I'd have never dreamed him. I'd have never dreamed, because I know who he was at one time. But see, Jesus changes lives, doesn't he? Not just healing the eyes and the limbs, not just the physical things. Jesus changes lives. He changes lives. No, I want us to go back to Zacchaeus and let's look at Scripture for a minute. Jesus is coming that way and he hears about it. He hears about it being that he wanted to see who Jesus was. It wasn't enough just to hear the stories, because despite how it took place, I promise you Zacchaeus had heard something about Jesus. If it was only Bartimaeus alone, everybody probably knew blind Bartimaeus at the old gate. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? I got to see. I can't. Hearing's not enough. Stories. I want to put my eyes on this guy. Any of you like that? And I hate telephones. I'd rather look a man in the eye and talk to him than I had talked to him on telephone. I'm just that away. I'd rather see somebody. Zacchaeus wanted to see this Jesus. So what did he do? And this is what we need to do. Maybe you don't know Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've just heard about him. You come to church every Sunday, you hear about Jesus. Have you ever positioned yourself to see him personally? Zacchaeus positioned himself so that he could encounter Christ. Now, we may not run down the street and climb a tree to see him. We may come to church with a friend. But see, even if we come to church, and it's important we invite and bring people to church, because that's where sometimes they get the opportunity to have Jesus pass by their way. But my friends, we can come sit on the back row of the church every Sunday and miss Jesus because we've not positioned ourselves to hear from him. Have you positioned yourself to see Jesus? Because do you believe Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday? The things you read here, do you think Jesus will still do those for you? I don't know about you, but I think our Lord Jesus has had his hand on your pastor. Amen. Through all of this. Didn't make it easy for him, but he's got his hand on him. There's many of you he's got his hand on. Hallelujah. But are you positioning yourself to see Jesus? Well, I know Jesus, Pastor. I'm saved. Well, are you satisfied? You got enough? You got enough, you know everything about Jesus. You want to know a little bit more. You want to experience him a little more. Because see, that's what happened. He positioned himself. You notice he positioned himself in the tree because Jesus was coming that way. And he didn't let his physical, personal, humanity, his inabilities get in his way. He was a little man. But he didn't let that get in the way. Crowds, everything. He could have probably paid to push people out of the way. But he didn't. He ran ahead, positioned himself, if you will. Didn't let that get in his way. He climbed the tree to see Jesus. Because why? Jesus was about to pass that way. Do you live your Christian walk with expectations of Jesus passing your way? Or do you only expect that to happen on Sunday mornings, Wednesday mornings, Bible study or revival you go to? What about in the morning when you're sitting at the table with a cup of coffee and it's quiet in your house? You ever stop and say, all right, Jesus, I'm here. You know the neat thing? You don't have to climb that sycamore tree. He'll pass right by your table and sit down with you. If you're seeking to find him. If you're seeking, if you've positioned yourself, not physically, spiritually positioned yourself to encounter Jesus. What happened when Zacchaeus encountered him? He's in the tree. He was expecting, I just want to see him. He's in the tree. Can you picture that? I don't know about you, but I have a visual mind when it comes to Scripture. He's in this tree hanging like this, looking, waiting on Jesus to come. Jesus walks along and he stops and suddenly he looks up at him. Hey, come on down. Let's go to your house. I bet he wasn't expecting that. But did he receive what Jesus had to say to him? Oh, yeah. Zacchaeus, come on down because today I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. What did Jesus see when he looked at Zacchaeus? Because Zacchaeus, when he comes down, he goes to his house, he welcomes him joyfully. People have been to complain. Zacchaeus don't pay any mind to them. But he immediately begins to confess before the Lord, doesn't he? See, my friends, when we get in the presence of Christ, when we're in His presence, He begins to show us ourselves, things that need to be done away with. My friend, I sought repentance when I accepted Him as my Savior, but I seek repentance every day because I know the one in the mirror looking back at me, what goes on in here, what goes on, you know, I know. I seek that. But when you get in His presence, He begins to show you you. Not from your perspective, but from His. Because see, when we want to walk, we call ourselves Christians, and that really means we're Christ-like, right? We want to walk with Christ. We want to look like Christ. It ain't Christ that needs to change. It's us. That's why when we get in His presence, that's why when we sit down at the dinner table with Him, if you will, we sit down there and have coffee with Jesus every morning, or in our prayer time, wherever it is, we set our place, put ourselves in that position to meet with Jesus, and then we're ready to hear what He's got to say. We got to receive what He's got to say. Jesus, God ever told you to do something you don't want to do? Several years after God had called my wife and I in the mission field, and I know I use those analogies a lot, but that's where God's taken me. I had taken a really large team of people, about 25 or 26, and that's a lot to manage in the mission field overseas. And I come home and I told my wife, I'm done. Them people drove me nuts. I'm done. About 3 months later, God says, I want you to take another team. People start coming. I want to go. I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Lord, I don't want to take these people. He says, you're going to take these people. I don't want to take these people. Anybody else ever argue with God, or is it just me? Sometimes God asks us to do things we don't want to do. But we do not see Him move until we surrender to Him. I surrendered begrudgingly, I'm being honest. Okay, Lord, I'll go. And I'm mad on the whole plane, 22-hour flight. I'm mad the whole way. I don't want to be here. I get off the plane, and it's like Jesus met me at the bottom of the steps. He says, now, are you done with your pity party? Are you through throwing your fit? Because we got work to do. And immediately a peace come over me. And over the next couple of weeks, I saw hundreds of people come to Christ. It wasn't because of me. It was in spite of me. I say all that to say this. When we meet with Jesus, we position ourselves to meet when He passes our way. Is our heart ready to receive? Are we willing to repent of what He shows us and then say, okay, yes, Lord, to what He wants us to do? Are we willing to let Him change our life? Zacchaeus' life was never the same after that encounter with Christ. He gave away, paid back, set his heart straight. And Jesus said what? Salvation came what? To this house today. Did you notice that? Let me get back up here. You notice what He said? Jesus said, salvation has come to just Zacchaeus. That's not what it says, is it? Salvation came to this house. This house. My friend, this is Kyle Costin's opinion. Men, when you keep Jesus in the forefront of your house, the rest of it follows. The rest of it follows. That's God's design. Salvation came to that house. Not only did salvation come to that house, but Jesus, He says, look, He too is a son of Abraham. Now, biological lineage, He probably was. But what happens when you and I, as non-Jews, accept Christ? Word says we are what? Grafted into the bosom of Abraham. We're His. Zacchaeus became a child of God. He was willing to give it away in order to follow Him. Thing we got to remember, What will you do when Jesus comes your way? My friend, Jesus will pass your way. Holy Spirit will prick your heart. He'll speak to you. What you do next is important. What you do next. Now, I know Jesus as my Savior, preacher. Well, are you going to share with other people what happened when Jesus came your way? Or are you going to be silent? Can't be silent, can we? We've got to share with the world. Because Zacchaeus had to hear somehow. There was something that pricked his mind to want to put himself in a position to see this Jesus. Could you be the one? Can you be the one that gives someone else that desire to position themselves to see Jesus? What do they see? Because if the story, as I've shared, just the analogy or thought process, if you will, of him going to those houses and seeing the change, we could just stick with blind Bartimaeus, just him seeing a difference. Do the lost world see something different in you than the rest of the world? Any of you ever heard this statement? I don't go to church because there ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down there. Does that offend you? Does that offend you? Well, I'm going to share something with you. Church is full of hypocrites. But I'd rather be in church with a bunch of hypocrites than I'd be out in the world lost, wouldn't you? Amen. We're not perfect, but we serve a risen Savior that makes us holy and perfect before our Father. Are we willing to be different so the world can say, what happened to you? Anybody ever said that to you? What's different about you? What happened to you? Well, you can say, well, let me tell you. This man named Jesus came my way. And this is what he done for me. See, if you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, you have a story about him passing your way. If you're here and you were sick and Jesus passed your way and raised you up, you have a story. See, I see some hands coming up. If you know Jesus as your Savior, he's raised you from the dead. Are we going to share about that Jesus that's passed by our way? What are we going to do with Jesus? Zacchaeus had to see who he was. He wanted to know, I want to know who this Jesus is. I got to know. You ever been that interested in someone you just had to know? I'll close with this. Man, Glenn probably don't cut y'all loose this quick, does he? Sometimes. Two things today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you cannot go back to a time in your life where you recognized you were lost and a sinner and you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Not mama, not daddy, not the neighbor, you. Because see, I can't get my wife to heaven. I can't get my daughter to my son. They have to choose themselves. You have to choose. My friends, today, if you have an inkling in your mind that I'm lost and I need Jesus, let me explain that to you. Jesus is passing your way right now. He's knocking at your door right now saying, come to me, because today is the day of salvation. This day, salvation can come to your house. Maybe you're here and you're a believer, prayerfully all of you. Are we living our life in such a way that we have the opportunity to share what Jesus has done when he passed our way? And are we doing that? I use a saying a lot of times, wrote in some of my Bibles, in front of some of my Bibles, it says, you know, preach Jesus every day and sometimes use words. I'm thinking about revising that. I need to open my mouth more. And then what I do support what my mouth says. Follow? What are we doing when Jesus passes our way? Are we letting the world see what he's done for us? So that there might be a Zacchaeus in our neighborhood. might be a Zacchaeus in our family. We don't know what's going on in his mind. There might be a Zacchaeus we encounter at the store, but he saw something in you, heard something out of your mouth, speaking to someone else, and they said, you know what? I want to know about this person they're talking about. I want to know. I got to find out. Because you simply live Jesus before others. Where are you at today? What are we doing when Jesus passes by our way? Are we living it out? Are we responding? Are we positioning ourselves to encounter Him? Because see, you know what Jesus wants and desires more than anything from you? You know what He desires from you personally? A personal relationship with you. He wants you to know Him more and more. But see, you have to position yourself to hear from Him. Heavenly Father, I come before You this morning. Lord, You know the hearts of the people in this room. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know You, Lord, may today be the day of salvation for them. May they recognize You passing that way and be willing to give their heart to You. Lord, for believers, those of us here that know You as Savior, may we live in a way that makes the Zacchaeuses of the world want to know You because they see You working in our lives. Lord, speak to us this morning as only You can. We ask these things in the most powerful name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen.